This is the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 277, and I'm Steve Webb, your host. Welcome. It's great to have you join me today. If this is your first time here, welcome. Make yourself at home. Bagels and fruit are over there on the table. Help yourself. Today we're back with the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Galatians, and we're using the Contemporary English Version of the Bible this week. Today we'll finish Paul's letter to the Galatians with the reading of chapters 4, 5, and 6. Let's begin. Galatians chapter 4. Children who are under age are no better off than slaves, even though everything their parents own will someday be theirs. This is because children are placed in the care of guardians and teachers until the time their parents have set. This is how it was with us. We were like children ruled by the powers of this world. But when the time was right, God sent His Son, and a woman gave birth to Him. His Son obeyed the law so He could set us free from the law, and we could become God's children. Now that we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, and His Spirit tells us that God is our Father. You are no longer slaves. You are God's children, and you will be given what He has promised. Before you knew God, you were slaves of gods that are not real. But now you know God, or better still, God knows you. How can you turn back and become the slaves of those weak and pitiful powers? You even celebrate certain days, months, seasons, and years. I'm afraid I've wasted my time working with you. My friends, I beg you to be like me, just as I once tried to be like you. Did you mistreat me when I first preached to you? No, you didn't, even though you knew I'd come there because I was sick. My illness must have caused you some trouble, but you didn't hate me or turn away because of it. You welcomed me as though I were one of God's angels, or even Christ Jesus Himself. Where is that good feeling now? I'm sure if it had been possible, you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me. Am I now your enemy just because I told you the truth? Those people may be paying you a lot of attention, but it isn't for your good. They only want to keep you away from me, so you will pay them a lot of attention. It is always good to give your attention to something worthwhile, even when I'm not with you. My children, I am in terrible pain until Christ may be seen living in you. I wish I were with you now. Then I would not have to talk this way. You really have me puzzled. Some of you would like to be under the rule of the law of Moses, but do you know what the law says? In the Scriptures we learn that Abraham had two sons. The mother of one of them was a slave, while the mother of the other one had always been free. The son of the slave woman was born in the usual way, but the son of the free woman was born because of God's promise. All of this has another meaning as well. Each of the two women stands for one of the agreements God made with His people. Hagar, the slave woman, stands for the agreement that was made at Mount Sinai. Everyone born into her family is a slave. Hagar also stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and for the present city of Jerusalem. She and her children are slaves. But our mother is the city of Jerusalem in heaven above. And she isn't a slave. The Scriptures say about her, "You have never had children, but now you can be glad. You have never given birth, but now you can shout. Once you had no children, but now you will have more children than a woman who has been married for a long time." My friends, you were born because of this promise, just as Isaac was. But the child who was born in the natural way made trouble for the child who was born because of the Spirit. The same thing is happening today. The Scriptures say, "Get rid of the slave woman and her son. He won't be given anything. The son of the free woman will receive everything." My friends, we are children of the free woman and not of the slave. Galatians chapter 5. Christ has set us free. This means we really are free. Now hold on to your freedom and don't ever become slaves of the law again. I, Paul, promise you that Christ won't do you any good if you get circumcised. If you do, you must obey the whole law. And if you try to please God by obeying the law, you have cut yourself off from Christ and His gift of undeserved grace. But the Spirit makes us sure God will accept us because of our faith in Christ. If you're a follower of Christ Jesus, it makes no difference whether you are circumcised or not. All that matters is your faith that makes you love others. You were doing so well until someone made you turn from the truth, and that person was certainly not sent by the one who chose you. A little yeast can change a whole batch of dough, but you belong to the Lord. This makes me certain you will do what I say instead of what someone else tells you to do. Whoever is causing trouble for you will be punished. My friends, if I still preach that people need to be circumcised, why am I in so much trouble? The message about the cross would no longer be a problem if I told people to be circumcised. I wish everyone who is upsetting you would not only get circumcised, but would cut off much more. My friends, you were chosen to be free, so don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. All the law says can be summed up in the command to love others as much as you love yourself. But if you keep attacking each other like wild animals, you had better watch out, or you will destroy yourselves. If you are guided by the Spirit, you won't obey your selfish desires. The Spirit and your desires are enemies of each other. They are always fighting each other and keeping you from doing what you feel you should. But if you obey the Spirit, the law of Moses has no control over you. People's desires make them give in to immoral ways, filthy thoughts, and shameful deeds. They worship idols, practice witchcraft, hate others, and are hard to get along with. People become jealous, angry, and selfish. They not only argue and cause trouble, but they are envious. They get drunk, carry on at wild parties, and do other evil things as well. I told you before, and I'm telling you again, no one who does these things will share in the blessings of God's kingdom. God's Spirit makes us loving, happy, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. There is no law against behaving in any of these ways. And because we belong to Christ Jesus, we have killed our selfish feelings and desires. God's Spirit has given us life, and so we should follow the Spirit. But don't be conceited or make others jealous by claiming to be better than they are. Galatians chapter 6. My friends, you are spiritual, so if someone is trapped in sin, you should gently lead that person back to the right path. But watch out and don't be tempted yourself. You obey the law of Christ when you offer each other a helping hand. If you think you're better than others when you really aren't, you are wrong. Do your own work well, and then you will have something to be proud of. But don't compare yourself with others. We each must carry our own load. Share every good thing you have with anyone who teaches you what God has said. You cannot fool God, so don't make a fool of yourself. You will harvest what you plant. If you follow your selfish desires, you will harvest destruction. But if you follow the Spirit, you will harvest eternal life. Don't get tired of helping others. You will be rewarded when the time is right if you don't give up. We should help people whenever we can, especially if they're followers of the Lord. You can see what big letters I make when I write with my own hand. Those people who are telling you to get circumcised are only trying to show how important they are, and they don't want to get in trouble for preaching about the cross of Christ. They are circumcised, but they don't obey the law of Moses. All they want is to brag about having you circumcised. But I will never brag about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his cross, the world is dead as far as I'm concerned, and I am dead as far as the world is concerned. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. All that matters is that you are a new person. If you follow this rule, you will belong to God's true people. God will treat you with undeserved kindness and will bless you with peace. On my own body are scars that prove I belong to Christ Jesus, so I don't want anyone to bother me anymore. My friends, I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be kind to you. Amen. May God bless the reading of His Word. Paul's biggest concern with the Galatian church was that some believed the teaching of some false teachers that it was necessary to follow the Mosaic law. And he said something in chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, that was very important. Here are those verses again. I, Paul, promise you that Christ won't do you any good if you get circumcised. If you do, you must obey the whole law. And if you try to please God by obeying the law, you have cut yourself off from Christ and His gift of undeserved grace. The false teachers were telling the Galatians that in order to please God, they had to follow the Mosaic law of circumcision. He said that if they did that, they would have to follow the entire law. By doing that, they would actually be denying the message of the gospel, and therefore denying Christ. Without faith in Him, it is impossible to please God because it is impossible to follow the whole law. Our only hope of salvation is in Jesus. Paul said in verse 1 of the same chapter, "Christ has set us free." This means that we are really free. Now hold on to your freedom and don't ever become slaves of the law again. My friend, don't let legalism separate you from the freedom Jesus gave His life to gain for you. But don't use that freedom to slap Him in the face either. In chapter 6, Paul listed the things that the flesh would have us do and the things that God's Spirit grows in us. In other translation, these attributes are called the fruit of the Spirit. Quickly, because I don't want to take too much more time here, let me just say that fruit is something that grows naturally. An apple tree grows apples because that's what an apple tree does. The tree doesn't have to strain to grow them. They just grow. The same is true for the fruit of the Spirit. If you belong to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in you, and you will begin to show these fruit in your life. As the Spirit of God matures you, you will just naturally become loving, happy, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. If you don't see these attributes growing in you, then it's time to take a close look at your relationship to Him. Comments? Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Just look for episode number 277. Or tweet me at @SteveWebb_, and in your comment put #LifespringMedia. That way I'll get an alert that you wrote something for me. Tomorrow we're back in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.